really appreciate all of Brody's family being here with us today. But I also would like to recognize his first grade teachers here as well, Miss Anderson, maiden name Krimminger. Some of you may know her. And even the reading coach from McDonald Green is here with us today. Her name is Tammy Etheridge, and she is a cousin to Amanda's dad. But it means a lot to have people from our school be here today. I hope that Miss Anderson's been able to see a change in Brody's classroom behavior since he's made this new change. Of course, I pick on Miss Anderson. I say, maybe Brody will be a better influence on you, but that's just a good joke that Miss Anderson and I have together. But we really do appreciate y'all being here, and it means a lot for you all to take time from your service to be with us today. I hope my watch doesn't stop at 11:50 this Sunday like it did two Sundays ago. If it does, Stephen, if you'll let me know. When was the last time you felt as though you were starving? Just yesterday morning, Brody runs to us and tells us so early in the morning, I'm starving. And Amanda and I hear it all the time. Robert Michael and Brody both are starving. And we know that they don't know what starving really means or what it even feels like. And I'm sure there's probably not anyone in here today that can say they really know what it feels like to be starving. And we have to quickly remind them that they're not starving. They may be a little hungry. But you know, as soon as we hear our stomachs begin to grumble or they begin to rumble, we first think, oh, I'm starving. That's what we say. We're starving. But yet we're not starving. But with an exception of a few of you here today, I want to ask you a question as to how many of you make a point to drink plenty of water each and every day? Water. How important it is to drink water. And did you know that the average human body consists of 50 to 65% water? So how important water is to our bodies? I want to give you a few stats or reasons as to why water is the ultimate purpose of sustaining life. Water is the primary building block of cells. It acts as an insulator as it regulates our temperature. It helps us when we perspire and through respiration and in controlling the internal body's core temperature. Water is also very important that it helps us metabolize all foods that we eat. The carbohydrates, the proteins, everything that we eat, water helps metabolize. And here's one that many of you may not have known, but water also lubricates the joints. It acts as an insulator to the brain, the spinal cord, and the organs. It acts as a shock absorber. One can go 3 weeks without food, but only a few days without water. And through these statistics that I gave you, there is one mutual dynamic that I want you all to take from this list. And that being the fact that water is the sustainer of life. Now, right now, I'm speaking from an earthly standpoint. But without water, one will not survive but for a short time here on earth. And it's what allows our bodies to function as efficiently as possible. So naturally, we can look at Jesus' life and what he did, and the woman at the well, for example, he saw fit to tie in the importance of water at the well to a water that will last for eternity. Jesus always sought out opportunity after opportunity to teach, to show others the importance of life eternal. And he had ways of doing so in a way that would allow the simple person to understand, such as myself. So no matter how much water you consume here today, or for the rest of your life while you're here on this earth, it can only sustain you for a short while. If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to turn to John 4, verses 7 through 14. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. And I have a reverence for God's holy and infallible word. If you please stand as I read and follow along. John 4, 7 through 14. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and of his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into life everlasting. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for the promise of life everlasting. Lord, it is my prayer today that if there's someone here who hasn't been to the well, may today be the day that they take a sip of that life that will promise them life eternal. Father, we love you and we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus was well aware of the life the Samaritan woman had been living. And so he saw the perfect opportunity to introduce himself to this woman and to introduce to her the opportunity of life eternal. There are two very important things within today's message, within this reading itself. And the first thing being the fact that it was very, very uncommon for a Jew to be seen interacting with a Samaritan. This was against all cultural and traditional beliefs. It was heavily frowned upon. However, we know and we see that this action that Jesus portrayed showed the purpose of his ministry, shows the purpose of why he came to this earth, so that all would have a desire to be saved. With Jesus taking the time to speak with this Samaritan woman, it shows what it means to witness, to show others that you care. It also shows the importance of no matter life situation, no matter what sin we think people are living in, it's not our responsibility to judge that sin. It's our responsibility to help them turn away from that sin. It is our responsibility to teach them what Jesus is all about. But how quickly sometimes it's easy for us to look at these people that have committed a sin that we know of and we judge them. And we don't even think about the importance of caring to assist them with doing away with those sinful habits. We are to assist the lost, not to judge the lost. The Samaritans were considered to be continually unclean. That's what's important. No matter what, these Samaritans were continually looked upon as being unclean. And so if anyone were to drink from the well or a cistern that one of these Samaritans were sharing, they too would be considered ritually unclean because they have touched, they have interacted with this Samaritan, this mixed race. The second thing behind today's reading is in relation to what anyone who has partaken of the living water will experience. Now, we do not experience it on this side of heaven, but we will experience it once God has decided to call us home. And that is the drinking of the well, the drinking of the water that will grant us life eternal. However, just because we can't literally feel it and physically feel it while here on earth, we have that well of water that should be springing forth from in our hearts and within our soul. And so this is our mission, to share the love of Christ to others, to share the importance of drinking from the well. Jesus's water is a vast supply. So theme one is to evangelize. Do not abstain from telling others of God's goodness and what he's done in your life. And theme number two is to teach others of the living water. So we evangelize, but there's more to evangelize than just telling them about Jesus. You've got to tell them what Jesus is all about. Just don't throw his name out there. Just don't say, I'm a Christian. Just don't say you know Jesus. You got to tell them why you know Jesus and how you became to know Jesus and how you were able to have the opportunity to drink of this living water. Now, with these two things, we can really combine them and make them one thing. And the reason why I say that is because so many times we look and we see those Samaritans that are in our lives. And I don't mean Samaritan in a sense of their nationality. But we can see those people in our lives that we look down upon because they're a little different. Maybe because they don't look the way we do. They don't dress. They don't have a prominent job. Or maybe they don't even have a job at all. And we want to look away from that Samaritan. But we cannot look away. We should not look away. This is why it's so very important that every opportunity that has been presented to you, that you take that chance to show them the love of Jesus, to show them the importance of who the chain breaker is. Jesus saw fit to give this woman an opportunity of a lifetime, and we will read later on that she actually takes up this opportunity. She understands what this opportunity is all about. But see, here's something important that we must realize, that she, a woman of her descent and her lifestyle, was to be frowned upon. So when she came to the well, she was coming during a time of day when no one was supposed to be there. She tried to plan it out that when she went to this well, she'd be alone. She wouldn't be bothered. She didn't want to be judged by the others in her community, in her surrounding area. But little did she know that when she got to the well, per se, the great judge was there to greet her. And he just wanted a drink. He was thirsty. Some say it was a coincidence that Jesus was there at the well at that time. But we do not serve a coincidental God. God has a plan. He has a purpose for everything. And this was his plan on this specific day. Because this woman, unfortunately, she had three things going against her. As I had already mentioned, she was a Samaritan. She was a member of a hated mixed race. She had a terrible reputation. And she was in a public place where she was not to interact with Jewish men. It was heavily frowned upon. But Jesus did what all people should do. He did what the gospel is all about. He intended for her to understand what it was all about to drink from that well. Not that well, not Jacob's well, but the well that Jesus Christ himself was offered. So this is why you have to be prepared at all times to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be an evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 10 of John chapter 4, Jesus said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." So what did Jesus mean by this living water? In the Old Testament, many, many verses spoke of thirsting for God and how they longed for God, how they needed God to quench their spirit. And God himself was often referred to as the fountain of life. In Jeremiah 17:13, it reads, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, who is the fountain of living water." So when you turn your back on God, you have forsaken the fountain of living water. So how very important it is that we realize that we should never turn our back, because he is the sustainer of life. He provides you with all that you'll ever need and more. So Jesus felt the need to offer this Samaritan woman this living water. But when the Samaritan woman heard of this water, she was confused. Initially, she was thinking of spring water, fresh spring water versus stale water that is typically kept in their cisterns. But when Jesus realized that she had become confused, he quickly guided her thoughts. He quickly turned her to where he was intending for her to go. And that was to drink of the spirit of living water. This living water will forever quench one's thirst for God. So just as a deer may pant for that water in the morning, or just as you may pant for water due to overexertion, and how refreshing that cold water is when you take a sip, that's how our souls should be for God. We should pant for God's soul-cleansing water. Jesus was claiming to this lady that he was the Messiah and that he was the only one who could make this promise to her and guarantee it. Many come along and make these promises to us and tell us they can do this, they can do that, but only one can fulfill this ultimate promise. There were two meanings to this water. As I said, it literally means spring water. It means fresh water. But John also was referencing living water, metaphorically as the Holy Spirit dwelling within one soul. John 7:38 reads, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So if you have called upon the name of the Lord, and he is now residing within your heart, can you testify and say that those rivers of living water flow or burst forth from your belly? Can others see you showing the love of Christ? Can others look at your life and tell there's something different about you? Verse 39 reads, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So at this particular time, he had not been glorified, but now we can say that the Holy Spirit himself is readily available if you call upon him, if you allow him to enter into your heart, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself has now been glorified through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, and the ascension back to his heavenly throne. Anyone who thirsts, come to Jesus, and he will give you drink. Verse 13 of John reads, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." So as I mentioned, we could all line up right now and take a sip from that water fountain. And then in a few moments later, we probably would feel as if we needed just another sip. But if we come to the Lord, if we give our hearts to him, he can take that thirst away, that eternal thirst away. Jesus quenches all. Jesus is knowledge to the thirsty mind. Jesus is love to the thirsty heart. Jesus is peace to the thirsty conscience. And Jesus is holiness to that thirsty soul. Jesus is the rock from which all living water flows. This very invitation that Jesus has given to this lady is a mirrored invitation of what we can read in Revelation 22:17. If you want to turn there, feel free to do so, but maybe write that down and go back and study it later. But 22:17 of Revelation reads, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." If you're willing to come to him, he's ready. If you're willing to listen to him, he's ready. Come unto the Master. Verse 14 of this very same chapter, this is Jesus speaking. John 4 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up to everlasting life." Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are two distinctive things from today's reading that should really leave a great impact on your lives. And that one being that Jesus will always find a way to get his message across. And I want you to think about that. You think about how many times you've been given the opportunity to give the message of Jesus Christ, and you may have turned away from it. You may not have recognized it. And a lot of times when we don't recognize the opportunity that's in front of us, it's because we don't even recognize the voice of Jesus. We don't recognize him directing our path. So that's why it's very important. That's why I encourage you to read his word daily, but more importantly, seek him out. Pray to him daily so that you can find the will of God for your life, so that when these opportunities do present themselves, when the unbelief cross your path, you can recognize them and you can teach them what Jesus is all about. Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman gives the perfect example of what it means to be evangelical. He also illustrates the importance of being a good listener. And sometimes that's what people really need. They just need somebody to listen to them. And I'm speaking about the unsaved right now. But even the believers need to have someone to listen to. But those who are unsaved a lot of times they're ready to pour their heart out. They're ready to let you know what's on their mind and what they're dealing with. But are you ready to listen? If we take the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be ready to listen. If Jesus himself can sit at this well with a lady who was living in sin, who didn't recognize Jesus, didn't know anything about the Messiah because she had not been shared the glorious story of Jesus Christ. So many people are in your lives today that have not had the opportunity. So what do you do about it? Don't look on them as if they're a Samaritan. You look at them as if they're a child of the one true King who are in need of a Savior. There's something very significant that we must place great emphasis on is the fact that this individual lady had to make a recognition within her own life before she could understand what this living water was. And that was that she had to recognize the sin that was within her life. She had to realize that she was in need of a Savior. That's step one. You must repent. You must recognize that I need help. I need Jesus to come and to cleanse me. Once you are able to recognize these sins, these failures, these shortcomings, then Jesus himself will do the rest for you. He will cleanse you. He will make you new. And then you can fully understand what it means to drink of this water everlasting. But there's something else you must do. And it's what Jesus was doing at that very time at that well, was witnessing, was being evangelical. Once you have learned the story and you've accepted the story and Jesus has sent that Holy Spirit to live within you to save you, don't keep it to yourself. You've got to go out and you've got to tell the world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed of his name to bear. She hurried back to the city when she learned who this was that she spoke with, for she was looking at the Master. She ran back to the city to tell others what was going on at the well. Many functions in your spiritual life and many functions in your physical life are very similar one to another. Just as you physically thirst for water, or you physically need food for nourishment, so does your soul. Your soul needs spiritual nourishment. And there's only one way to get it. That is through putting yourself in his word, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is your spiritual provider. Just as we would not want to deprive our bodies of this type of food, we shouldn't have the desire to deprive our bodies of this spiritual food. But so many times we neglect to replenish our soul. So many times we're so worried about being hungry because our stomachs are grumbling. But maybe sometimes that grumble in your stomach is not really your stomach at all, but it's really a grumble that is within your heart because it knows that you have been going far too long without placing yourself in God's word. Spiritual nourishment comes from the Father. Our bodies themselves will return to its original form, but there is a destination for all people's souls. So ask yourself this question as you go about life's journey. Where will your spiritual soul end up? This woman was bound for hell, but then she met the Master. And he told her about her sin. But he told her, if you would drink of this water, you'd never thirst again. There's only one place to look when seeking that spiritual nourishment. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The living water which frees your soul from sin. Revelation 21:6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Just as God finished the work of creation, Jesus has now finished the work of redemption. So now the Trinity will finish the entire plan of salvation. And in order to do so, he will invite the redeemed to come in to this new creation? Have you been found redeemed? Will you be able to taste glory? Will you be able to see this true fountain that flows deep from in? And in closing, one final verse I want to leave with you. It's Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to envision what the throne of God and of the Lamb, what it looks like in your mind, and this water that is beginning to flow. And John sees this water flowing from the throne of God. This same water that John is looking upon is the same water that can be spilled upon your body. And as I mentioned to Brody this morning, this baptism that we did, as I put him under that water and I brought him back up, we know that that water didn't literally clean him of his sin. We know it's symbolic. But as we submerge ourselves in Jesus' word, and as we submerge ourselves in that fountain of living water, that is what saves you. That is grace, that is love, and that is mercy from our Lord Jesus Christ. The water of life is a symbol of eternal life. And this is the very same image that Jesus himself was telling the Samaritan woman at the well. The fullness of life with God and the eternal blessings that come from knowing him will satisfy your thirsty soul. He asks you to come. He wants you to come. So if you sit here today and you feel as though you're thirsty, you feel that no water here on earth can truly satiate your need while you're here, well, you're correct. If you're willing to give your life to God, he's willing to take you home for eternity so that you can enjoy this life everlasting through him. All you simply need to do is come to the well. The Lord Jesus is ready to meet you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives each and every day. Father, we thank you for providing us with this water. Father, we thank you for your soul-cleansing water. And God, it is my prayer, if there's someone here today that feels as though they just don't know if they have taken of that everlasting life, if they've sipped from that cup, God, I pray today be the day. Father, we know that we're in need of a Savior. This country is in need of a Savior. And Lord, I pray today, may it start with each individual that is sitting in your church today. When we leave from Sandhill Baptist, may we go out and be the evangelical leaders that we should be, proclaiming the name of you, Lord, proclaiming what you did on that cross and how you can fix those who thirst. Lord, may we seek you for guidance. May we do everything we can each and every day to please you in all that we do. Father, we love you. We praise you. Amen.